Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Hello, and welcome to the season 5 finale of the Pretty Little Podcast. We're your hosts.
Woo, woo, woo. My name is Phoebe.
Woo, woo, woo. My name is Caroline. And
you know what?
And today,
Matt Rogers.
Okay. Okay, let's restart. Just kidding. We just keep it all in because we're real and raw, and that's what girls do. They keep you guessing the whole day through.
Matt Rogers made a really good point about podcasts. He said that Los Culturistas
is one.
Weird he didn't say Los Culturistas and the Pretty Little Podcast are famously the last two podcasts not doing seasons.
Oh my God, wait. That is so funny because I was thinking about that for a second. I was like, yeah, most podcasts do seasons or at least take a week off. And for a second, I was like, should we take a week off? No, we can't. And I immediately said to myself, no, we can't. Because that's discipline. It's because sometimes we know we're going to need to skip a week for like some insane, purely out of nowhere reason that like we can't do seasons. But you know who else does not do seasons? Is Giggly Squad.
Serve. And yeah, that's because they only have to talk for 15 minutes an episode.
Exactly, exactly. I did LOL at this week's episode of Giggly Squad, but now I cannot remember why. God damn. Oh, they're talking about how serial killers, when they're like watching the police investigations and they're like, and they're like trying so hard not to like insert themselves and not get involved. And they're like, and they're just like, not even close. And they're like, okay, fine. I'll send a little letter, okay? They're like, not even close. Cold, cold.
That's Toby this entire episode of Pretty Little Liars.
You're right. You're right. He's like, not even close.
That's him, like, holding all these coffees in his
literally
hands.
Literally. Like, you guys are botching this.
Now you're going to arrest my best friend.
You're going to arrest my bro?
I said his name?
My bro, Caleb? Okay, Lieutenant Butterscotch is also on my shit list now. I mean,
she's
what a fall from grace. She took so long to rise to a position of grace in my book, and how quickly she fell. It's honestly impressive.
And that's how it goes.
And that's how the cookie crumbles, Butterscotch. And what happened to Audie Holbrook? He's just gone.
He is gone.
Wipe people off the face of the earth. They have no regard for their families. They have no regard for the fans that are eager to see them with their shirts off.
And then they bring them back like it's nothing. Like it's nothing.
Well, is he going to come back?
We saw that this episode.
Yeah, so I deserve an apology. I deserve an on the record. Yes, I do.
I'm not apologizing to you for trying to let you have this experience.
No, no. Because you know what, Phoebe? You don't get to choose what my experience should have been. That was my experience. As I said, I call bullshit. There's no fucking way she's going out this quick. No way. I said it and you said, no, no, no. You gaslit. Hey guys, let's look up the Urban Dictionary definition of gaslighting. Oh wait, you don't have
Proud
to. Oh wait, you don't have to if you've been listening to Pretty Little Podcast season 5.
I do like that for the most part, everybody that listens hasn't tried to like.
An apology from the Road Warriors.
There have been like a few people who have like put stuff in the replies to our stories, and I've had to like really do some like gymnastics with having to like explain to you what they mean by a lot of this stuff.
Well, yeah, because you've been like, Caroline, we saw her body, and I'm like, that doesn't matter, and you're like, okay, dang it, she poked a hole in that one. He's like, that's historically never matter. Then you're like, Caroline, I'm telling you, she's dead. I'm like, okay, no, she isn't. And you're like, oh, darn. Okay.
No, hey, don't act like it was. I did pretty well.
You pissed me off. You pissed
but
me
I
off
like
because
that most
I knew
of,
the
most
truth.
Of you guys, most of you guys, the listeners, were super awesome and like kept your mouth shut.
Phoebe,
you were like, no, we're going to let Caroline experience this journey.
I have to tell you something, Phoebe.
What?
Because this whole time I've obviously known I was going to see Mona this episode, you know. But
right. Well, you, yeah, because you posted that thing.
I have seen the picture of her in the Allie costume 8 million fucking times. And so I knew she was coming back. So what you did to me was you made me, I didn't get the experience. I had to think, do the mental gymnastics of, okay, what the hell could this storyline do to bring back, does Mona have an evil twin too? Like, I was like,
but don't
what?
You love that in this show? Don't you love that in this show
that was on the table?
There was always something you could be like, okay, well, I guess like Mona could have been cosplaying as Allie like 10 years ago and it's a flashback to this.
Yeah, I mean, literally, I was like, there must be some like a dream or something to explain this. But I just couldn't shake it. And then like, and then you want to know something else? MK Kelly, you are now like the newest main character of the Pretty Little Podcast because I just keep talking about you. But MK texted me, okay, like a couple months ago, and she said, my sister is doing the same thing Phoebe's doing to you and trying to gaslight me into thinking Mona's actually dead, and I refuse to believe it.
Doesn't that tell you
that it's that a younger sister sibling? It's a younger sibling syndrome. That's
we're
what it
trying
is.
To allow it because there's so many spoilers. Like, we just want, because like, I need you to try to imagine how it felt when you were watching this live and you saw Mona's lifeless body multiple times zooming in and out on it. We saw that.
I know, but
as viewers, and think about how long this took. Remember how long ago it was that Mona died?
No, I know, but I just feel like it's crazy.
And then we see her.
Because even when I hadn't seen those photos, or even if I had, and I was like, well, maybe I just am like forgetting a scene that like this happened, you know, like I started saying that to myself because I was just like, but even still, I didn't think she was dead because I was just like, no way they killed her in the middle of the season. No way. And then I got by you, not by the show, by you. You took my little brain, my big humongous brain, and you morphed it into what you wanted it to be. And that is little sister syndrome. That is little sister shit, right, MK? Say it with me, right, MK? Because both of our little sisters gaslit us for all of season 5.
Sorry,
so
I'm just saying,
you have no clue what's coming, Phoebe. Because I will be getting even. Bet you'll think twice before trying to trick me again about something as inconsequential as a character on a TV show.
You will never be able to trick me again from behind bars.
Good fucking luck. You're no Allison De Laurentiis. Okay, it's over, Phoebe.
What I love about Allison in this episode specifically, and like the lore of Allison and all of the minds of the people in Rosewood, is that truly she is unstoppable and she can be everywhere at once. Because Peter and Vivi have decided that she kidnapped the girl somehow.
Yes. And also, how pissed are you if you're Allie? Because not only is this pinned on you, but you're like, I don't even get to be included. Literally, I fucking hate like, Mona. Mona's playing me? She's like, that would never happen.
How funny was Mona this episode, though?
Mona was amazing. And I've missed her. I've missed her so much. And I just would like, I gave it to you. I told you I got. I told you tricked me. Now, can you give it to me that my unwavering belief in Mona Vanderwaal is admirable? That the way that
yes,
I love this character.
Absolutely.
The way I fought 100%. For her. Thank you.
I'll give that to you. But I do just want to, thank you from the whole audience for giving you guys that moment live on microphone when I tricked Caroline into thinking that Mona was actually dead for the first time, like after Mona died. And Caroline was like, okay, because I remember Caroline was like, yeah, so Mona died and she just like kept going. And I was like, wait.
And I was like, oh, well, it's not real.
And then I got you good and you had like a tantrum live on microphone.
Yeah, and I just had another one. We've come full circle. And we always do.
So I'm going to do my recap.
All right, cool.
Allie and Hannah famously arrested. Allie famously convicted of the murder of Mona Vanderwaal. Smart Andrew is sus and dating Aria, I guess. Toby wants us and Spencer to know that he became a cop purely to protect Spencer. Allie has a conversation with Jason where she like kind of takes some responsibility for what could have happened to Mona, or accountability, I guess, is a better word. And then Aria, Emily, and Spencer are arrested at the scene of Allie's trial, and they're about to get locked the hell up.
Is that your whole recap?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's all
I
remember
was in there. One time when you were like, we should, since it's the end of the season, we should do like for the whole season for people.
Yeah, and as if
now
we
it's
ever would have done
Phoebe's
that.
Turn to do it, and she's like, hell no.
We didn't do that. We've never done that.
My recaps are pretty thorough.
They are, but like, they don't have to be.
Well, I didn't know that. I didn't know it was an option to half-ass it.
No. I just watched
as
what they
usual,
give me.
I didn't know it was an option to half-ass it. Okay?
I just watch what they give me, and I write down what they show me.
It's called reading between the lines. I want to watch School of Rock. I can't tonight, though, because it's Halloween.
Guys, I'm trying to decide if I'm going out for Halloween tonight.
What else would you do?
I have rest.
I mean, you're not going to celebrate the high holiday?
Well, I'm going to a Halloween party tomorrow and potentially on Saturday.
Wait, Phoebe. Okay, I debated on if I was going to tell anybody this because I think it's so funny. But do you want to know what Anthony and I are going to be this weekend?
What?
Actually, I want you to guess. I love making you do this, and you literally can never come up with a single thing. I want you to guess.
Can you please give me a hint?
Okay, it's a couple's costume. Characters from a movie.
Oh, my God. From a movie.
Yeah. A movie
fucking
with people.
The Hotel Transylvania.
Not animated.
The vampire.
Not animated, but we did watch that again. I watched it again. He watched it for the first time the other night. It was great. I just have to roll.
It's a real people movie.
Real people movie, hilarious flick. It's a Will Ferrell movie.
There's Are you being the stepbrothers?
No, way better.
Are you being Buddy the Elf?
Way better.
The dad?
Why do you think I'm going to be a boy? Why are you so convinced I'm going to be a boy?
I don't know.
I said it was a couple's costume.
The Talladega Nights people?
We're going to be the couple. We're going to be Ricky and Carly Bobby from Talladega Nights. Boys, get down here and eat this dinner. I've been slaving over it all day. And it's Taco Bell and McDonald's. I'm going to be her and he's going to be Ricky Bobby.
Oh my God.
Okay, you're not reacting. I thought you were going to think that was so funny.
That is so funny. No, I'm excited to see it though. When are you going to a party?
Dear baby Jesus, thank you for this meal for KFC, Domino's, and the always amazing Taco Bell. We're to Saturday. And Anthony got the Wonder Bread like racing outfit and he got me the Wonder Bread hat and I ordered the glasses and I'm going to have a jacket and I'm going to be chewing my gum and be her. And I'm sorry, that's the funniest movie of ever. It's one of my favorite movies ever. That Dad and I, I remember one time
we watched it in so long.
You should watch it and LOL. Because we were in a hotel once, me and Dad. I think it was like in Memphis. I was maybe there for an audition. And we were just like surfing the channels and Talladega Nights was on. And like unanimous, both of us were like, and we start like, if it's
that's
on.
That's the king of surfing.
I know.
Surfing the channels.
But that and The Notebook, if they're on, he will watch those. And anyway, so I love Talladega Nights. I think it's the funniest fucking film ever. We quote it all the time. It's so funny. You got to watch it again.
I know. I really don't think I've watched it since I was a kid,
feel like
so I probably should rewatch
it. I grew up in the era of like Will Ferrell movies, like Step Brothers,
Talladega
Nights.
I was a little too young for them.
But I think that like, I still think they're so funny. But Talladega Nights is just hilarious. So that's
where
we're being.
I saw, just really quickly because it's Halloween, I saw Smile 2 on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And
Phoebe, why are you looking at me like that?
What the fuck was that movie?
Why are you smiling at me like that?
It was crazy.
It was crazy. I got our Wicked tickets last night, by the way.
Oh my gosh. Is Anthony going with you the first night?
No,
or is that not allowed?
No. Kelly and I are going to see it together for the first time.
I figured that.
And I bought tickets in the... Okay, so it's the front row of like the second thing, dead center. For the first time. That's what we're gonna do. That's what we're gonna sit.
If you were a real one, you would have bought the tickets next to you and Kelly so that you still aren't
and maybe
aren't
I will
near people.
And that's still an option. And then I'm gonna go definitely see it again with Kaylin and Peyton. And then I'm definitely gonna go see it again with Anthony. and I'll see it with you, and I'm gonna see it with Caitlin.
And with Caitlin.
Yeah, and then whoever else wants to go. I'll see it over and over and over and over.
Busing people to the movie theater.
This is actually,
I bought everybody's tickets.
It's so nice talking to you. So my work bestie is also like a tech theater person. And she's also so excited to see the movie. And she was like, I think I'm going to go like by myself and I can't tell anybody that I'm seeing it. I'm going to have to pretend it's the first time I'm seeing it when I go with my family. But like, she was like, I need to like experience it. And I was like, don't have to explain it to me. I get it. Like, this is literally going to be, it's just.
And the reviews have been amazing.
And
every fear that I've had.
Like, Anthony.
I know how you feel, but I understand what Anthony's saying. Those are the fears that I've had of like the way that it looks. Sometimes I wish it was a little bit more like Technicolor and things like that. But these are all fears that other like critics that I've seen have had into the movie. And now they're like, no, it was a perfect movie.
I think it's going to be, because the thing is, we have to remember, like, Shiz University, it's not Kansas, but it is not supposed to be. That's the whole thing, is Elphaba is supposed to be the brightest thing on your screen. Like, Elphaba is supposed to be the Technicolor. You know, there's like a line about it. So like, that is what.
I also. Go ahead.
I'm just saying, like, that is what's supposed to be the main thing. And then when they go to the Emerald City and she's like, oh, I fit in here, everything is green, like I like that, that's okay. Part of it. And so I think that it's really important, but
I also think it's just, it's been like a, it's not so much just this movie that people have been having that specific critique.
It's
for
also
I think
a
it's
very
a,
popular a style of lighting of people, right now is the
and
thing.
It's, it doesn't do it for me. I just like wish movies, and like also watching Friday Night Lights, like seeing the graininess of the film camera is like, I wish we would go back to that a little bit. Like, I'm excited to watch Glee because I'm pretty sure that we're watching an episode that was still being done on film.
It's just so much easier to churn out content, and it's so much cheaper.
But maybe that should be a sign. Maybe that should be a sign then. Maybe we should be a little bit more selective with the content.
You would not be able to handle that. If these people start being selective and we don't have as much shit to binge, we're not going to be happy. So
No. Bravo can keep their digital cameras.
Okay. It's
but
also
what I'm saying
expensive.
Is like,
it's really expensive.
I know. But
you
I
know,
just
like you can't like just shoot again.
But
much.
I just feel like we don't need another Cruel Intentions. We don't need another one.
We don't.
We have
one. We don't.
So let's instead of doling out, and those writers I'm sure are awesome. Everybody on that project I'm sure is great. But it's like,
but
be
also
great in something new.
I think there's something also about Wicked, and we do need to get back to the show because people are gonna get annoyed. But
I'll put the timestamp in.
Okay. But for Wicked also. Most of this set is real, like, and so I think that's gonna make a really big difference too. Like, we're also used to seeing.
I agree. I was just watching
the digital and
the
CGI. You know what I mean? But like, they're existing.
That
in
will
this
be really
world,
nice.
And like, it's a real.
Matt Rogers
thing, so.
Made it because he just got to see it. Yeah. And they were talking about everybody that's going on the podcast for Wicked, and he was like, which is so cool. Mm-hmm. And like, Matt is a great cheerleader, and I'm really glad that it's not. It's this is how the dynamic is because
it could have gone
I think that
so
Matt handles
the other
it really
way.
Well.
I think Matt handles
no, but
it
I also
really
I,
well.
I also mean that if the roles were reversed, I don't know how the energy would be. But Matt just like is in such awe of Bowen, and not that Bowen's not of Matt, but it's just like
I think Bowen feels a little bit like he has to downplay his shit, and so I think he spends more time doing that than he does like boosting Matt up. Whereas Matt doesn't have to downplay his shit, so he spends more time boosting up what Bowen's doing. You
and
know?
I realized I missed something from the podcast because he did his I Don't Think So Honey this week on Lady Gaga discourse. Uh-huh. And I was like hearing him talk like a fan again. Like really
instead
like ignited something
in
me.
It's nice.
It's like it, like the excitement he had of talking about it and like talking about fans in a super like candid way. I was like, this is what the podcast was. But anyway, Matt was just talking about how he was like, if they had done this in one film, it would have felt weird because how do you go from Defying Gravity right into the second
act?
And it does feel a bit like Deathly Hallows, which is like, I think for a while people were like, how are they going to split this up and have it make sense and have it like really flow well. But then the end of that movie with Voldemort, like with the wand, get
well, and with Dobby dying, like I think people were like, I need a minute.
With Defying Gravity, you need the curtain to fall. And you're going to need it, like, and to let the second act breathe and have its own moments like that. And also, we forget, I feel like a lot, that there's a time difference between.
There are two different stories, like, to be honest.
The first and second act. Like, they were seeing a different dynamic. And if it was just one movie, that wouldn't be as clear, I don't think.
I think so, too. And I think also, if they're going to do justice to this with the way that, like, when you're watching something on a Broadway screen, on a Broadway stage, you only get like the full screen, you know, like you can only see everything. But the way that they're going to be able to show us so many more details and little moments and things like that, like I would rather them drag them out and make them these big, beautiful moments that we don't get to see on the Broadway stage. And I would rather us have, I mean, have to wait and be in my Wicked Bliss for 2 more years.
For the details like that, if he found him, John M. Chu found himself going back to the book.
Yeah, I bet he did.
More than maybe the people with the musical did, because he could expand on stuff
more.
Like that,
and he can probably be like, he doesn't have to pull this out of, not out of thin air, but he doesn't have to bring this to a market that isn't ready for it yet. You know, like, not that the market wasn't ready for Wicked when it came to stages, but it didn't win the Tony. And so it's like, now
and
we already
the stuff
love
that's in
Wicked.
The book,
it didn't. It's a little bit
it needed to
sensitive. So like, now that we already love Wicked, he can take more risks, I think, you know? Anyway, the girls are all in a police van. We are going to jail, and they are just basically convinced that A has won. And you know what? You're kind of right. I have to say, y'all kind of hit the nail on the head with that one.
One might argue A really did
hit the lottery here. And they're like, why are they separating us from Allie? Which I also am kind of wondering. I guess, like, they already had Allie, but...
I wonder... Well, I guess if Allie is in jail for first-degree murder and is in jail for life, she's probably in a different kind of jail than accessories.
Yeah, I guess that's a good point.
I mean, I don't know how the law works.
Well, we find out that the warden received an anonymous tip that the five of the liars were planning something big. And I'm just like, what the fuck could they really be planning? They're in jail.
What do you mean?
They are behind bars.
And also, like... Three of the four girls haven't even been talking to Allie.
Right.
Like, they haven't even been going to visit her. So, like, what could they possibly have been planning?
Exactly.
I also love the way Allie or Hannah's describing it. She's like, there's this one girl and she'll do your laundry if you give her information.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
All this stuff.
Emily's like, Hannah, what's... And Emily's acting like a little child who's, like, holding on her mom's hand. She's like, what's it going to be like this?
Which is fair.
Night? Well, yeah, totally. But it is funny because it's, like, not how I'm used to seeing Emily, really.
It's like season one Emily.
Yeah, and Hannah's like, well, you can't be ready for how it feels. First night's the hardest. See this tattoo? They did that in my sleep. I didn't even feel it. That's how uncomfortable the mattress is. Like, she's like just walking through the whole thing. And Spencer says that we have this nice moment of friendship between our core four, where Spencer says, look, they can take everything, but they cannot take us away from each other. I don't care how far apart we are, I will still be with you. Which is that sweet, like, we needed that moment before what we're about to go into.
Because then, I guess Phoebe Connell's behind the wheel of this car. We crash.
And I just love that you can laugh about it. I love that you can laugh at yourself.
Thank you. I saw a TikTok of this girl who was like, me when I... You know that trend that's like, me when I did this, me when I did that. And it's like, blank stare.
And then,
it was me when I totaled my car three times. And the last slide was me when Tom Brady posts... landslide with a couple hearts after he finds out Giselle is pregnant with another man's child, and it's her sobbing, and she's like, I don't even like Tom Brady.
That is so melodramatic, like, though. Tom,
it's so fucking funny. Oh my god. But anyway, so there's a crash, and
they go off-roading.
Hannah says, or Spencer or Emily says, oh my gosh, were we just in an accident? And Aria says,
I
just had one in my pants.
Like, literally, they're like, we were just in an accident. Ari goes, no, I was. He's like, okay, we're all in the same fucking car, bitch. And she's like, in my pants. Okay. It's like her knee-jerk reaction. She's like, no, I was, about anything. And then she realizes, wait, we actually all were just in an accident. So she has to clarify, in my pants. And then she had to pee herself. And it's like, Aria, is this really worth it? Now you're just soaked in urine. And you're wearing an orange jumpsuit.
Oh my
so
God.
We can see it. then I was like, I'm sorry, are we about to shoot these girls execution style? The doors to the van open.
We hear in the front of the van the driver getting beat to smithereens.
Like, did we hear a gunshot?
No. No. First we heard like
did
punches
we hear a single
and, like, a
gunshot?
Like that. Oh my god, I actually need to go back on my Ring camera. There was
a single gunshot
over there.
What?
No, not a single one, at least 20. It was crazy. Wait, I mean, what? I hear a few every couple nights, but last night someone on Ring was like, that was giving automatic vibes anyway.
Oh,
it was a couple blocks away from me, so.
Don't you love the Ring notifications? But they really help you sleep at night.
I know. It's perfect because it's literally like we all just ran to the town square to discuss what just happened.
Yes.
And everybody's like, okay, people are like, okay, I'm listening to this police scanner.
Yeah.
Everybody's like, okay, I'm on the police scanner. Sirens are already on the way.
It's so
funny.
And
then someone's like, yeah, I live down a block from where they were. Tons of sirens. And I'm like, okay, but that's not really helpful. I want to know
what
happened.
I'm like, hey, where do you live? I'm coming. I'm going to go on foot so I can get closer. So anyway, this person opens the doors to the van, thought they pulled out a full gun and we're going to shoot the girls.
That's definitely what it looks
like. But it's like a gas bomb thing. And the girls all pass out. And then we leave them. And it just is like so dark. It's so dark. So quick.
Then we go to the Hastings Castle and Toby's filling Peter and Vivi in on the fact that the van's missing. And that they found traces of the date rape drug. I forget what it's actually called, but that's what Peter calls it. Mm-hmm. After Toby says the actual name of it. In the driver's system.
Insane.
So A drugged the driver and then beat him up.
And then he's like, yeah, now all the girls are missing. And Peter goes, who would want to take the girls? I'm like, literally
like
everyone. Like, no one likes your daughter, Pete. Neither do you. You don't even like her. Like, he's like, who would want to take the girls? And Vivi says, who would or who could? And they're like, maybe it's this feels like Mona, like when Mona was A, but we know Mona's dead. Yeah, right. And then Peter's like, nah, it's got to be Allison. And Toby's like, well, she is in jail. And Peter's like, shut the fuck up, Toby. I do think
and
it's insane
this
that
okay, yeah, we have the same thought.
None of the other parents are being told.
We're not going to tell the other parents because we're afraid they're going to go telling everyone. But you're telling Peter and Vivi.
Hey, that's how we find them. If everybody knows, we have more people fucking looking. Like, I'm sorry,
and like literally butterscotch. Sorry, you're a little bit embarrassed. You botched this.
Yeah, and she's
that's
so
not
willing.
The community's problem.
She's so obsessed with proving she didn't botch it that she's willing to like botch it so much worse. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sorry, once Ashley Marin gets a whiff of this, you're toast. You're freaking toast.
You're toast.
So they're like, why would these girls be someone's target? Again, I can think of 1 million reasons that they would be someone's target.
At least.
You can't? Like,
at least.
I can't.
So then we go to what kind of looks like Spencer's room. And Spencer's asleep.
TBH, cozy, comfy, cozy vibes.
I'm low-key like, okay, it's this or prison?
It's this or prison. Right. Okay, girls, why are we complaining? You're literally in your childhood bedroom. It's like nostalgia.
Spencer wakes up and she starts to notice some little differences between this room and her room. Like, all the frames still have the pictures of, like, the stock pictures in them.
And also she's in her prison jumpsuit. Not her silk PJs.
On her whiteboard, there's a schedule, but it also says welcome home and, like, terrible handwriting.
And she's like, that's not mine. She goes to try to open her bedroom door, and it's locked, of course. And then we notice that every girl's room has been recreated. And it even has the lighting, like, through the windows. Like, it's very disorienting and weird.
But
it's also...
if you look out the windows, they're black.
It's yeah. And, like, Hannah's room has, like, where the rays of sun are typically coming through, and it looks like it's daytime, but then Emily's room, it looks like it's nighttime. It's like they're trying to get the girls so like disoriented, and it's definitely working. And Spencer,
and their cameras in all the rooms.
Yes. So Spencer immediately throws a chair at the window, and I was shocked
that
it broke.
Which I thought was kind of crazy.
I was like, no way, this isn't like bulletproof, before I realized there's actually just a stone wall behind the glass. So like, doesn't matter.
Also, I thought this was kind of cute. It's the rocking chair that Toby made her.
Oh, yeah, wait, that was, like, I didn't think about that.
She like turns it over to make sure that it's not actually the rocking chair that Toby made her. Which I'm also like, hey, you fucking creep.
I know.
What?
Well, I was wondering, because they show like the IKEA tag, and I was like, why are they showing us that? But that That's sweet.
But in Aria's room, she's like picking up all the frames and stuff, and there's like a mannequin. And for some reason in Aria's room, there's no furniture. But they're replaced with not the stock pictures anymore, but mannequins set up and dressed in clothes
so
to look
weird.
Like a family.
So actually
then, like,
way creepier.
Empty books. And then she opens her closet door and it's just concrete.
Oh my God. Yeah. I mean, this is so scary. But Airbnb, when are we get? We got the Airbnb Polly Pocket collab. When are we getting the
literally,
Airbnb Dollhouse like, collab?
Hey,
I'll stay there.
Marlene.
It looks fun.
You have a cash cow.
Hey guys,
right here.
We have two more seasons of this show. Make us famous. We'll get you that. We'll make it happen. You make the right people famous and we will get
people,
you what you
people
want.
People were messaging and they were like, we would go
I
there.
No. How fun would that be? Like, oh my God, crazy. And you and I
the
are
doors
A.
unlock. Oh my God.
And
okay.
They're all our dolls. Okay, who's in? No one. Literally crickets. Nobody.
No one. The doors unlock.
The voice sounds like my voiceover voice. Do you hate it?
I didn't notice.
I'm just kidding.
And there's like a welcome announcement starting to play and the girls rush out and they hug and reunite and they're like, we're in like a dollhouse and we're the dolls.
But it is so funny because Spencer goes, it's like A's dollhouse. And then Emily goes, yeah, and we're the dolls. It's like, obviously. I am kind of like Emily, shut up. Like Spencer literally like, we're in the dollhouse. Yeah, we're the dolls. Obviously.
Oh my
so
God.
Then they're like, follow the lighted pathway. And the lights along the hall start moving in the direction the girls should go. And they don't go right away because they're like kind of figuring out what the fuck's going on. And so the voice over the loudspeaker repeats it. Hannah goes, we heard you, bitch. Hannah in this episode.
Hannah is done.
Again, reminding me why I fucking love her. In every moment of this, Hannah, like, I don't understand why she didn't get the flowers she deserved when the show was airing. I really am like confused about it. Because
yeah,
it seems like now
either.
People are getting it. You know?
Yeah. That seems to be the consensus for sure.
And maybe it's because of us.
So
we're shining light.
I think so, because we have millions of listeners. We go to Allie's living room, what looks like Allie's living room, and there's a masked Allison playing the piano.
Sorry, these masks are so fucking scary.
Like, you have to just fucking understand what this felt like. We walk in this room. If the people that are watching this live, it's been like months since we found out Mona died.
Did you feel sad like I did?
Yeah, well, I think we were just like, shocked they would kill Mona off.
You were just shocked. You weren't sad. You were mourning. You were grieving.
I don't remember being sad.
Oh
I don't remember being sad.
Look at all the joy.
But I think
she's
I was happy
us.
When she came back. But she, so she's playing, and like she, they approach her. They're like, Allison, and I'm like, girls,
I'm
really
like,
are we still doing this?
This is, I know, like it's obviously not Allison. That's a mask. you've sexually
it's
seen
Emily's
the
favorite.
Mask before.
That's Emily's favorite thing to do when it's the mask.
Allison? I know, Emily. It's
girl,
like, I know
no.
wishful thinking, but like, you're talking out loud. Do you know that? So they enter this
and
room. Someone's playing the piano.
She takes the mask off. And then this is why I'm telling you to imagine. We see that it's Mona. And then it goes to commercial break.
Yeah. No, I mean, well, and then but now imagine how I'm feeling. Because I see this and I'm like, but I know Mona's dead. So what the hell is this? Is this going to be some supernatural twist? Because then I'm out. I hate that. I literally was like, did they bring her back? Like, I had to start explaining it away for myself, which I didn't like. I wanted to just be in the moment, you know? I wanted to live in the moment and just enjoy her coming back. But I couldn't because I had to keep being like, Caroline, don't get your hopes up because of you. Anyway.
You're welcome.
No, it's not. You're welcome. So Hannah's like, hi, Mona.
So you go to Caleb's apartment.
No, we're still here. She goes, hi, Mona. And Mona goes, you guys, it's me, Allison. Oh my God. The girls are like, what the fuck? And it is like, well, Mona, no offense, hasn't been all there for like a while or maybe ever. So like, it isn't outside the realm of possibility to think that she would maybe think she was Allison.
In their heads, Aria and Emily, I feel like, are the ones who would be like, oh, okay, we're in Mona's dollhouse.
That's what I was going
to
say.
Mona has constructed this place.
Where she
and
can
like,
have us all as her best
be
friends,
Allison.
Just like she always wanted. Yeah, that's what... Well, then I started thinking that for a second, and I was kind of annoyed because I was like, if that's what this is, then I don't like that they're making her bad. Again. Not that
well, you're lucky. You're in luck.
Good.
We go to Caleb's apartment, and Toby and Caleb got into the police department system on Caleb's computer, and then Ezra comes over.
Dude, how
he goes,
is Smart Andrew going to be?
Oh my God. Well, he is. And he knows he's being excluded.
Oh, and he does not like to be excluded.
And my favorite, my least favorite thing, actually, Ezra, like, this is just like, I think, a pet peeve that I have with people when they like, they jump into something and then they present like the obvious idea as like their contribution to what you've been working on for hours, because they're like looking at this, like the road, for the traffic cam. Ezra goes, all we need is one frame of A. And Caleb and Toby are like,
duh.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've been saying that for years, dude. Like, you've been teaching English class and we've been doing this.
Like, I feel like Caleb and Toby are like, yeah. And you, as if you weren't writing your little fucking book and you were actually being good with the research that you were doing, dude, we would have it.
Don't get me started on later on. Later on, when the Hastings are introduced to Ezra's research.
Imagine how Vivi and Peter are feeling, like meeting Ezra as like one of the boyfriends.
No,
now.
I hate that. I hate that. They're so like, they're like, hey, so while we're here with you, I know it was a while ago, I know it's ancient history, but Spencer did miss a few points on this paper. And I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about your grading strategy here.
Yeah, no, that is our parents.
Literally. So we go back to the dollhouse. Mona's pouring tea for the girls. We're having a cute little tea party. It's so funny. Spencer's like, Mona, why are you at Mona? I don't want fucking tea, Mona. And Mona goes, this is my living room, Spencer. This is my house. Why are you acting like such an imbecile? I love that, like, when she has to act like Allison, she still gets to be so fucking mean. Like, Mona doesn't have to change that much, to be honest.
No, she, the line between Mona and Allie is very fine.
Yeah.
And she goes to hand Allie, or she goes to hand Hannah cookies, and she goes, Han, one cookie won't make you gain it all back.
Hannah's so over it. And this she's just like, Jesus Christ. But then she takes the bite of it. She's like, okay, well, I mean,
it's the cookies out of it.
She eats it though. And later on when she eats the donut, she's like, I mean, it's here. Like, I'm not going to not. And I'm like, word, like, me too.
She's like, you guys don't understand where I've been. You guys didn't actually have to go
right,
to prison.
You didn't even have to eat three, like, a breakfast, lunch, and dinner in prison. So shut the fuck up. She's like, these are expensive in prison. Well, maybe anywhere. But Hannah says to Mona, which is just like, she goes, I'm really glad to see you, Mona. And this is so funny.
I actually
rewound and recorded it because Mona goes, do not call me that again. You know how much I loathe that bitch. She does like,
that's the part that makes me laugh more. The part that makes me laugh more is how she snaps and she goes, do not call me that again.
Do not call me that again. It's so fucking funny.
It's giving Lisa Barlow.
I'm going to play it.
It's giving Lisa Barlow.
You just changed our relationship. Okay, wait. I'm going to play
it. Lisa Barlow with the side part last night.
I didn't watch yet. Okay. Here.
It was good.
I'm so happy to see you guys. Really happy to see you too, Mona. Do not call me that again. You know how much I loathe that bitch.
You know how much I loathe
that,
bitch.
I love that we're so complimentary, because the part that I like more is the first part and the part that you like more is the second part.
And we just complete each other. And that's why you're my best friend. And I love that you guys don't know that every time. What the hell was that noise? That was the worst noise ever. I can't wait till you hear that back. It was the craziest noise ever. Okay. So anyway, while Mona's saying I loathe that bitch, Emily grabs a piece of her hair, tugs it, drops it horrified, and mouths to Spencer, it's actually her hair. Emily was making me laugh.
So Emily's like, as long as I'm not in that terrible place Hannah was describing.
Yeah, I don't
want
to go there. I don't think I'd be able to sleep well. Aria decides to play along and she says, so Allison, and then the bells, the alarm.
These bells ring. And Mona says,
Mona says nothing.
It's game time.
She gets up and leaves. And I thought she was going to like run away. And again, I'm still thinking she's evil. And I'm also like, we're just eating and drinking the things Mona's giving us. Like, if I'm here, I'm not putting anything in my body, you know? But they go with her. And there's like this room that looks like a little kid's room. And she says, they need to start. Four chimes means it's game time. And looks up at the camera. It's so crazy. The voice she's doing Fawn, that other option when you're being kidnapped. Like, she is like giving, you know, there's like fight, flight,
and
Fawn, or whatever. What's the other one? Freeze or something? I don't know.
Freeze.
But she's doing Fawn and it does seem to be working. Like, she's like, but it's, of course,
she's
Mona
doing
would
exactly
have,
what is asking of her.
Yes. And she's doing it with a smile and like committing.
And the girls are like, the girls are pissed. The girls are fighting.
I'm like, if I'm here, I guess I'm saying the opposite of what I just said. Because on one hand, I'm like, I'm not eating or drinking anything. I'm not trusting Mona. But I'm also like, I'm doing exactly what Mona's doing if I'm them. Because I'm like, Mona's fucking smart as hell. Like, just do exactly what she's doing.
I agree. And I think Spencer starts. Yeah, well, I guess maybe not.
No, I think she does. You're because right.
Maybe a little bit. But I mean, before long, Mona explains to them what's going on. So they're playing this mystery date game and they have to like, speaking of which, if you guys haven't watched Woman of the Hour, it was pretty good.
Well, I haven't yet, but I'm really excited to watch it.
I mean, love, obviously it's like,
almost like it's so horrifying. And again, I'm actually like, really, today.
I was really impressed by Anna Kendrick's directing.
I'm excited. My work bestie today said she watched it and she was like, I think having a woman direct it was like so great because she was like, it really like does a good job of setting up the scene of like, this is how what it feels like and how scary it is.
And Anna Kendrick said, I think on Call Her Daddy, she was like, there were times when I was on set and I was like, does it, because people kept saying to me, like, it's so great that you're a woman director, like, doing this. And she was like, does it really make that big of it? Like, she was like doing things and she was like, I don't know if a man could necessarily, I think a man could maybe do the same job I'm doing, until she did the scene where he's following her to the car.
Yes.
And she was like, at first when I was envisioning that scene, I was going to have it maybe more close up on us. But she was like, then putting the scope of the parking lot so you see that it's truly just them. And there's no one around. She was like, that's when I started to realize that I have a different perspective to bring to a story like this, because a man just doesn't know how
it
feels.
And it's not even a matter of like, yes, they don't know how it feels. They also cannot imagine it and they don't even think about it. So like, that's what's interesting. I realized like Anthony is a feminist and he has my back. And I know that like he is one of the good ones. You know what I mean? But even for him, there are times where like there are just things that he's never thought about because like he hasn't had to, you know?
Did you see the clip of the, and you guys know I love Paul Mescal with every fiber of my being, but did you see the clip of him on that Graham Norton show with Saoirse Ronan and...
Oh, I didn't watch that clip, but it's
a couple other people. But he like, they're talking about like self-defense or something. And he's like, I can't imagine. He like says, like, I can't imagine in my head, like, if I was being attacked, like, that my first thought would be to call someone. He like says something like that. He's like, my first thought is to like fight. And Saoirse Ronan's like watching them all the men just like talk about this. And she goes, yeah, it's kind of like what a woman has to think about every day. And everybody goes,
wow. But it's just like all those thoughts you're having. It's like, speed them all up, put them all in a woman's head, and she's thinking it all the time, even when she's not in danger. You know, they're also thinking of it as being like, if I'm in danger, we're like, even when we're maybe not in danger, that's how we're thinking.
Even when I'm just walking around my neighborhood,
imagine how exhausting
it is. I'm thinking about every single
thing. Or when I'm parking my car, I'm like, oh, well, there is a spot next to a curb. Maybe I should just park there just in case someone's going to hide under my car and slash my Achilles heel. Like, that's women
are one of my biggest fears.
Me too. Or like, you know, I got to check the back of the car every time I get in the car. You are not supposed to sit in that parking lot. You get in the car, you start driving. I will put my seatbelt on at the stop sign because I don't want to be sitting in here for 1 second and risk somebody coming and getting in the car. Or like, there are so many things.
Actually, something like this happened the other day. I was at the gym. Nothing bad, but good. I was walking to my, it was busy, but it was nighttime, and I was walking back to my car and there was a guy walking back to his car and we had kind of parked close together. And I guess someone while we were in the gym had put like all these business cards on everybody's car.
Oh.
And he like immediately picks it up. Like,
oh
off
my
of
God,
his
that's
window.
Such a good example.
And I,
you
I,
don't,
like,
you get
in the
car and
car
drive
and I, like,
somewhere
I like
else.
Roll my window down so that it either flies off. Yeah. I actually think it went into the door, which I hope that doesn't fuck up the car, but I was like, I'm not touching it because you don't know what's on it or you don't know
and
if they're trying to slow
you
down
know,
or anything like that.
This is something that people will often do, people who are trying to abduct people to sell into sex trafficking, is they will put something on your windshield too, like a coat or something, like something that a normal person like a man
or money
or anything will go and take it off of the windshield. And during that time, that you have now slowed you down enough to come do something to you, to get in your car, to take you, to come up behind you, something like that. So if you see something on your windshield, you leave it there and you drive
you
to
guys
wherever
ever seen,
you're going.
You guys ever seen that film Split?
Yeah. Oh, God. That scene is my biggest fear. Him getting in the car with the chloroform over. I'm like, at that point, I don't know how you escape something like that. And like, it's so scary, but exactly what you're saying, there are so many men who that thought doesn't cross their minds. And it's just, that's such a perfect example.
It doesn't
example.
Make them
you just
bad.
Escape.
It doesn't make, like,
they've never had to think about it.
Paul
we don't
Mescal
think about.
And Pedro Pascal, like, they are two examples of, I think, men that you would feel safe around. Yes. And I mean, obviously, we don't know them, but like, they seem like.
Yeah.
You know what the saying men written by women.
My husband is a
like,
perfect example.
Vibe.
Like my husband is like a man written by a woman. You know, he is this non-threatening man who like is I would trust like my, I think my sisters both feel comfortable reaching out to him with pretty much anything even if I'm not in the chat. Like he's worked very hard to be the kind of person that women don't have to like feel nervous around. And even he sometimes just doesn't know. And it's interesting. Like we'll have a moment. I'll be like, oh, we'll do this. And he'll be like, why? And I'll be like, oh, it's so weird. You've never thought about that. Like about if you, whatever, like even getting pulled over. Like sometimes I think about that. I'm like, okay, well, if I were to get pulled
like
over right here, like I don't think I'd pull
a man anything. Probably doesn't think like mom always tells, like whenever I go on a road trip, mom's like, you know, you can call 911 to confirm if the person with sirens behind you is actually a police officer.
Yes.
And they'll be able to tell the police officer that you weren't evading them.
Right.
You were just calling to make sure. Because people will buy fake sirens if they see that you're a woman driving by yourself.
Yes.
And mom always says, like, when I stop at, like, a gas station if I'm driving home, she's like, you need to make it look like you're traveling with someone.
Yes. Buy a bunch of snacks.
In whatever way you can. Like
buy two meals.
Like, oh mom.
And for my best friend who's a pro wrestler ever. Mochi Health. Phoebe, have you ever had a doctor who just didn't listen to you?
Who hasn't?
Good question. Well, Mochi Health understands that weight loss can be a frustrating and seemingly impossible journey, and they're not just listening, they're taking action.
They're taking a holistic approach to weight loss that includes visits with board-certified doctors, nutrition consultations, and science-backed medications delivered right to your front door.
With Mochi, their dietitians work hand-in-hand with your medication to create personalized nutrition plans that fit your lifestyle.
Mochi Health is making it easier to make sustainable changes and achieve real weight loss results with science-backed, FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, support from real doctors, and guidance from registered dietitians.
And the best part is that it's affordable and accessible regardless of your insurance coverage.
Well, actually, the best part is that Road Warriors can use the code PRETTYLITTLEPODCAST for $40 off.
Oh my God, you are so right. So get started at joinmochi.com and use code PRETTYLITTLEPODCAST for $40 off.
And in case you missed it, that's joinmochi.com and use code PRETTYLITTLEPODCAST for $40 off. Hormone harmony. Yes, Road Warriors. The rumors are true. Sometimes when I hop on to record the pod, I am a little cranky, and that's thanks to PMS. Obviously, talking with Caroline cheers me up, but sometimes even that's not enough.
Well, Phoebe, it's a lot easier to manage PMS with Hormone Harmony, along with so many other things. And I love that it supports cortisol levels and helps balance my mood swings. Yes, I also sometimes experience those. And obviously, I benefit from the improved sleep quality.
Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens, and they're amazing because they literally help the body adapt to any stressors, which makes sense because Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier because women's stories matter. It has zero sugar, it's gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and third-party tested.
And Phoebe, did you know a bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds?
Actually, I did know that, and I'm pretty sure I'm the one who told you.
Anyway, for a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code PRETTYLITTLEPODCAST at checkout.
That's happymammoth.com and use the code PRETTYLITTLEPODCAST for 15% off today.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Of John Cena? Yeah.
I'm going to need all the... How much McDonald's have we gotten here?
And you're like, wait, should I also have to pay for it? Okay, be right back.
Wait, my friend's going to pay for that.
He's got the wallet. I'll be right back. But can I just have the... Can I just pay for this? Yeah. Anyway, okay, back to the show. But that's also why, guys, it's really important to vote. Because these are things that I think... It might really make a difference in women's lives if there was someone in office who had these thoughts too and thought about how do I protect women and make life safer for them every day.
It's like what Kamala said on the Call Her Daddy podcast. Again, man, Alex Cooper having these moments. And I know that people make fun of how she interviews, but she makes people feel comfortable.
She also
and
has just that made makes it for accessible. Great she ma-
conversations.
Like, no one, anyone but who says anything about it at this point, I'm like, shut the fuck up. She made it accessible. She made it accessible. And like, how often do you get to hear a candidate talk for 45 minutes about one issue that you care mm-hmm. about? And a lot of people who listen to that podcast exactly. are voting on
but
that
the
issue.
Fact that
it's a gift.
Kamala was like, I was the first vice president or president that had to have a gynecologist appointment. Yeah. Like, I was the first person who had to, like, worry about, like, you know, like, period products and things.
That's
like
crazy.
That. It's like things that truly they don't.
Yes.
And I think Doug had similar experiences
as
being,
the
like, the first
man.
Gentleman. He was,
yeah.
like, I realized, or the second gentleman, like, realizing that,
well, the
I mean,
the
we don't, like, think about
they're
the
like, you'll decorate,
so
you know? Yeah.
Exactly. And Doug, I do love Doug's like, yes.
And I love that Andy Samberg plays Doug on SNL. I think it's like
know,
actually
it's so
perfect. Okay, sorry guys. Anyway, so the game is like you have to acquire an outfit and then you open the store and you find out who your mystery date is. So they open it. First it's Ezra. They open it again. It's Caleb. And then like another alarm sounds and Mona gets up and opens this toy mailbox. And she says there's something for everyone. And it's every girl gets like a letter and they open it up and it's invitations to prom. And I think the plan is they're going to play the game to figure out who their prom dates will be. And Hannah has had it. She stands up, turns around, looks at the camera, says, if you do anything to hurt Caleb, I will kill you. And I just love it. Like, I'm sorry. Caleb says later on in the episode, Caleb is like, there is no way if Hannah could, she wouldn't have called me. There's no way. And
I
it's
agree.
Like, that is 1,000% true.
They get each other. Hannah stands up and she's like, because Mona is like really trying to like.
Mona's like, Hannah, please just.
Calm her yeah, down. Like, and she's like, you're not here alone.
There are five of us. Now.
And one of him, her, it, bitch.
It's
and
so,
then the sirens go
it's off. So, I mean, that line and the way she, he, she, it, bitch. And she like, I mean, she says bitch so many times this episode and it's great. But yeah, then this major alarm goes off and Mona runs away and she tells them that alarm is not going to stop until they are in their rooms. So they all run in their rooms. The doors slam without them doing it. Like the doors are controlled and the alarm stops.
Then we go to Caleb's apartment and they found the footage they needed. But when they get to the timestamp that it would have been, there's like a cartoon and they find out that it was overridden by A.
That is crazy.
And Ezra
oh my
walks
God.
Over to not his cabinet, one of Toby's cabinets that's probably hand built, and kicks it.
Doesn't he punch it? But he punches it. And that's why they're like, let me get you some ice for that.
I thought he kicked it and hurt his toe, which is so much funnier.
He literally
by the way.
Like goes
they
to punch it and then
something.
He's like and does this grunt and he kind of like shakes his hand, and that's when Toby's like, are you, they both, Caleb and Toby both look at him like, okay, he's not the tough guy. And they're like, are you okay? And Toby's like, let me just get you some ice for that. And let's, in the future, let's not do that again. Okay.
Hey guys, man or woman, the cringiest thing you can do when you're angry is punch a wall.
That's a crazy thing to do. It is a crazy
man or woman
thing to do. Can I tell you, I one time went to visit my friend at Duquesne and I stayed overnight and they were like crazy. And he got so drunk. I walk in the house. There's like a hole punched in the door. It's
those kids are crazy.
On
you
campus apartments.
At that school.
On campus apartments. Punched a hole through the door. And they're like, oh, well, what was it? They like sent a letter or something. And they were just going to like add it to tuition. Didn't tell his parents. And then Phoebe, they threw something. They had a full wall of glass in their apartment. And they were like a high up apartment. Threw something, broke through the glass. And it was a school apartment.
That also seems a little bit like Duquesne. Maybe those windows should
not
be stronger.
I know. It was really crazy. But yeah, isn't that insane?
Kind of like the shower and smile too, if you guys have seen it.
Right.
that just would never happen, what happened in that scene. So we go back to Hannah's fake room, and she hears like a clicking, and or she hears like a click, and then she starts to hear someone coming in, and Mona says, "We have 3 minutes. Come on." And this is Mona, bitch.
This is Mona. And this is when we're like, okay, if you girls could have just been patient for the daytime, we would have gotten here. Mona walks them through it. She says, okay, I figured it out. The main generator goes down for 3 minutes, and I have run in each direction for a full 90 seconds to see what is there.
Thank God Mona was the first to get in here.
Can you imagine if it had been, sorry, no offense, Aria or Emily?
Aria would have
Hannah, I think she's scrappy. I think she would have, like, at least
but I don't
tried.
Know if she would have noticed. I don't think she would have noticed that the power was going down.
No, I think it would have been a different
brains
thing.
Are more primed.
Yeah.
And Spencer and Mona, I don't think sleep. So I think they were
I think Spencer and Mona would be burning the midnight oil. Like, they would be kind of like me. But here's the thing. No, I honestly think in a situation like this, I would be the Spencer and you would be the Hannah. But I think that Hannah would do well. Like, I think Hannah, it's just a different, she would look at it differently. So I honestly feel like Hannah would not do what Mona and Spencer are doing, but I think she would have the next best chance of, like, getting out for sure.
That's fair.
But so, yeah, so she
I think I'd be the Emily, sorry.
You do?
Yeah.
I don't know if you would.
I'm a freezer.
I actually kind of am too. But I think if you were, like, at this point, I think you'd be past the freeze. Like, once you realize, like, okay, we're here. I'm not, like, no one's, like, I'm in a bed. Like, I'm in my room. I think once you, like, realize maybe. That, maybe you'd be able to be like, okay, well, this is a situation. I need to, like, think through it. But she says, basically, here's the deal. Like, if you, she found ways, but the deal is you also have to get back to your room during the same 90 seconds. So, like, if you don't, you end up out of your room for days without food. The alarm blares nonstop. And Mona explained that it plays the sounds of people crying at your funeral.
I'm like, okay, well, these girls don't have funerals, so what are they going to play for them?
You know what this sounds like is that American Nightmare, that thing where, like, the girl, everyone thought she was lying and it was, like, a real Gone Girl thing, but she was actually kidnapped. And I think they were also like, oh, everyone thinks you're dead. And, like, he, like, showed her, like, her parents crying on the news and
stuff. Yeah. I think you're right. Mona also explains that there's a vault at the end of one thing. And Spencer immediately is like, well, what's in there? And Mona's like, bitch, do you think...
Mona's like, can you not ask stupid fucking questions, Spencer?
She's like, you try. And that is one thing about Spencer, that it's like she has to do something to be certain that it's
right. She's like, well, maybe you didn't do it the right way. She's like, you might have figured out the way, but you didn't do it the right way.
And she doesn't say it in a nice enough way. She, like, if she was being nice, she'd be like, well, why don't we all, like, tonight or tomorrow night, like, do, like, another pass through?
Yeah,
we'll all see if, like, but she's like, okay, well, did you try?
Mona's like actually gonna be like, okay, do you want to die by the hands of A or do you want to die by the hands of me?
Or me.
Yeah, literally. So then Aria
and so
or Mona explains that A wanted Mona to be Allison. So that's how she is, that's who she is when it's watching. And Aria explains what's going on, that Allison has been arrested for Mona's murder and that the girls were accessories. And Mona goes, well, I didn't think you were wearing that as a fashion statement.
Which I thought was so funny. And it's like, well, if anybody in the group is going to, it's going to be Aria.
Aria goes, yep, but she's Mona.
Mona's also, I think the reason Mona's able to survive so well in here is because she is able to look at it like a game. She goes, I'm winning the game.
I think so too.
And you see that glint in her eye that we saw when she and Mike had the conversation about how she was going to fake her death.
Yeah. And so you know, like, what? It honestly is like, even though I think Mona is like such a mastermind, I feel like all of these girls need the full group here to beat this, because Mona, although she loves to win the game, she's playing to win, she's so smart, there's part of her that is not well. Like, she's still too much in this, like, manic sort of state of this is a game and I have to win it, so that she can't think completely logically, where Spencer is so logical, but she also has the same desire to win. So it's like, if they look at it where Mona's looking at it like a game, which is how the creator is looking at it, so that's a good thing. But Spencer's like, okay, but we also have to be logical. We can't, like, you know. So I feel like, honestly,
like, Mona, Mona, I think, has the, there's a possibility that even if they found a way out, Mona would stay in if she thought it meant figuring out the game or solving the puzzle.
Exactly.
Because I think Spencer is like, she just wants to find the solution to get
right,
out. Like, she doesn't really, she likes, like, puzzles, there's not a sickness there.
If Mona accidentally found a way out, I feel like she would, like, she wouldn't take it, because she'd be like, well, Mm-hmm. Like, Spencer's like, okay, who cares? I don't care how we got here, but we're getting out. And Mona's like, yeah, but there was something else I could have figured out. You know what I mean? Anyway, Hannah hugs Mona and they have 17 seconds to get back, and they get back to their rooms. And so Allison is now still in jail, but she's brought in to speak to the Hastings. And she asks them if Spencer's okay. And they're like, drop the caring friend act. Enough. We are desperate. Do you know where Spencer is? And that's when Allie starts panicking. And she's like, wait, what do you mean? Where is she? Like, she's in jail. We should all know exactly where she is. Mm-hmm. There should be no question.
She kind of starts to cry. And yes. She's like, I don't know where they are, but I know who took them. And it's A. And Vivi and Peter are like rolling their eyes. Also, they're like, okay.
Peter literally says to Allison, that guard outside will not be able to save you if you lie to us tonight. What are you
Jesus
saying,
Christ, girl? Pete? You gotta chill.
So Vivi explains what happened to Allison, because Allison obviously did not know. And Allie promises, yeah, she doesn't know, but she knows who took them. And she explains A. And they're like, Jesus Christ. And she's like, A killed my mom. A killed Mona. And they're like, then why didn't you go to the police? And she says, well, Hannah tried. There wasn't any proof. And Allie basically is like, look, I don't have anything else to lose, but you do. So, like, you need to figure this out. The girls are back in their rooms and A is watching them. And we're kind of getting, like, tours of their rooms. And that's, oh, sorry. We think that's what's happening. It's actually a dream. Spencer's, like, looking through her room, looking at everything. And in, like, the kids' room, there had been these little blocks with letters on them, but they were all jumbled. And so Spencer's dream is reorganizing those boxes. It's like when they spell out, when, like, Harry Potter 2, when he gets the Chamber of Secrets, did you think this too? The journal,
yes,
and
exactly.
They have all the letters out, and then they all rearrange to spell out Tom Marvolo Riddle. It's like,
yeah, it's that, and it's also giving Queen's Gambit. And I'm like, Spencer,
yes,
no way
is.
You fucking saw
in your
no
dream.
Way you saw those blocks.
Maybe in real life, but not in your dream. And then it spells out Charles, and she wakes up and she goes, it has a name. And I'm like, okay, that
obviously
doesn't necessarily mean though that, like, I like how she just was like, okay, and so his name is Charles, and so, and like, I do know that's true again from spoilers, but I'm like,
this is one of
we're
those
just
moments
sure?
where it's like, I wish the writers had just, like, given the storyline a little bit more time to breathe.
Yeah.
Like, for some reason, they come up with this amazing concept, but then they're in such a hurry
yeah.
to get them out of there, so that it feels rushed that Spencer
also,
has to figure this all out.
Because did I see something about how they're only in there for, like, a couple episodes? Like, they get out pretty quick? That's mm-hmm. That is weird. I would like more in here.
I agree.
Mona wakes up.
And there's a present for Mona. There's a present for Mona on her nightstand. And she opens it and it's a gas mask. And she looks at the camera and she goes, for me?
Oh, my God. And it says, the note says, because you're my favorite. And so she's like, do you want me to put it on? And it's so creepy. She cooperates. She puts it on, then turns to the mirror and just starts brushing her hair. Like, it's...
Guys, gas masks might be one of the scariest inventions.
But it's
ever.
Also making me think, like, what are you going to do?
No,
are
for
you,
sure.
Are you
but
gassing these girls, like, and you're going to let Mona survive?
It's like when what's his name? When Ezra wears that old World War II
yes,
soldier outfit with the gas mask. Like,
yeah.
So there's something so scary about a gas
yes,
mask.
Yes, for sure. And it's also like the breathing.
We go back to the police
yeah.
department and Toby tells Lieutenant Butterscotch about, like, all the stuff about Caleb and
I
all this
would
stuff.
Be
and she
so angry.
Picks up the phone and she goes, yes, hello, Rosewood Police Department. Send out an APV for Caleb Rivers' arrest.
And she's like, Toby, do you know where he is? Toby's like, what the fuck? I haven't seen him for days. What? And she's like, well, someone tried to track a vehicle and it's got to be Caleb. But I couldn't figure out if she was actually trying to arrest Caleb or if she was like, well, he knows where Hannah is, if he knows where the car is. So, like, let's get him in here, you know, because she does say that. She's like, if he knows where the vehicle is, then I think he knows where Hannah is.
Well, I think she also would love to just arrest all these people that are
probably
making her life harder.
So the girls all walk into, like, a workroom. It kind of looks like the lab in Breaking Bad where they're making meth. Mm-hmm. And they all have stations.
Or, like, did you ever watch LazyTown?
No.
This looks like where Johnny Rotten lives. I think that was his name. I don't remember. Mm-hmm. This looks like his. And those who know.
I mean, I actually have watched LazyTown, like, with you, but I can't think of it.
I loved LazyTown as a kid.
They're all on committees for prom.
Guys, guess what Aria's on?
And she's like, wait, but these are all... Where's the vinyl? We have no records? We don't have a record player? You don't have the grandma
phone? She's like, these are all songs from like 7 years ago. What about 70 years ago?
Yeah, exactly. She's like, these are way too recent. I can't work with this. I can't work with this.
Where are my turntables?
She's like, Linger by the Cranberries isn't even here. And that is my top choice for a slow song. So they're all in committee. Spencer and Emily are on decorating. Hannah, guess, Food and Bev. And Allison,
and then she goes, she looks at the camera when she she goes, Hannah, Food and Bev, bite me.
I love her. She's just so, she's like, okay, get fucking creative, please. God damn it. You built this whole place, but you can't think of a better joke for me.
Guys, this joke is tired. And also, I think it's, A is so jobless.
And also,
like,
I think it's
fatphobic. Only a jobless person
That's what I thought you were about to say. And also, I think it's fatphobic. Well, that's for sure. Wait, can I just complain about something?
The body positive movement?
Well, of course. No, finish what you were going to say, and then I'll tell you what I was going to complain about.
A is so jobless, but also has to be employed because, or a billionaire somehow.
Yes.
Because they built
yes.
this entire thing, but like, how jobless can you be
giving,
to be doing something like this?
It's giving trust fund, kid. Those are the only people who have that much time and money on their hands that they're just like, what else would they do? You know what I'm saying? I need to complain about something. So I was listening to Last Cult when they put Stanley Tucci in The Devil Wears Prada on their iconic 400. Well-deserved. One of his best roles. Mm-hmm. So great.
Of course.
And they were talking about like one of his lines where he's like, slow down, six. And mm-hmm. just, I mean, them talking about the movie, I was like, Anthony, can we please watch it? So we watched it that night. It's just like, I'm sorry. I love that movie. Every frame of it. I fucking love it. But anyway,
and I also think that when people complain about jokes like that in the movie, like people will talk about how it's
that's what I'm gonna complain about.
Problematic, and it's like I get it, and it would be problematic if you were being, but they're trying to display the toxic work environment, which is why there's part of me that's like, we cannot micromanage so much of what people put out because
it's not
serves a bigger point.
Right.
It's not like that's who Stanley Tucci is or who the writers don't feel that way, but they're trying to display problems in our culture, which is what art is supposed to do.
Yes.
So if we're
turn a mirror
like
around
this,
the society. So yeah, if you don't like it, how it feels when you see that, sometimes you don't, it makes you uncomfortable because you recognize yourself.
And just like we always say, it always comes back to cabaret.
Just turn
a mirror
to society, you know?
That's why there's literally a mirror.
There you go.
In the original.
That's what I love about theater, is that's exactly what it is. But I was listening to Giggly Squad, as I mentioned, and they had me laughing. They also had me crying at this part because they were like, I just was watching that movie and like the number of times that they say like she's a size, they don't make that, and then a size six, and like size six, like it's so huge. Like it's just so problematic. And I was just like, Hannah, you're missing the fucking point. Like, it is problematic. That's the industry. The movie isn't problematic. The industry is problematic.
And especially at that time.
It's a movie about the industry. And that is exactly how it fucking was and probably still is behind closed
doors.
Especially
there, yeah.
And that's, I agree. But also that movie might have been part of the reason that it's not so much that way anymore, you know? That we like,
yes.
So like it shines a light on the things that are problematic and like what people will do and the lengths they will go to succeed, and is that right? No. You know, like
totally.
They're not, Miranda Priestly isn't supposed to be like the goal in this movie.
Yeah.
You know?
That's what's misunderstood. I feel like a lot of the times people watch media and they're like, these people are supposed to be aspirational. We're supposed to like, these are, for some reason, everybody on my screen is supposed to be a role model.
Yes.
And it's like, no, sometimes they're an example of what not
in
to
fact,
be.
None
but that
of
doesn't
these
mean
people
that those
are.
Stories shouldn't be told.
Like every single person in that movie is deeply flawed. That's the only reason it works. You know, like they have to be. It's so good. Okay, so they're recreating a prom they've already had.
But they didn't go to it, which is an important thing.
Okay.
They're like, Night at the Opera, that's a prom that already happened. That was the last prom that Melissa and Ian went to. And then, so they're realizing that. They're throwing this prom. They're going to have to figure it out. Mona is like, can you guys come over here and help me fill out these ballots? I'll make sure I win, just like I made sure Spencer won. That's where I love that, like, Mona is able to put these little quips in that like sound like Allison, but she can still like be mean to Spencer.
Right.
Because they're frenemies.
Yes.
And
yes.
So they're writing, like they can write notes to each other on these ballots. And Hannah kills me because Mona's like writing it as a form of communication. She's like, did y'all get masks?
Hannah's like,
and they like, the girls are like, okay, we're not going to waste a piece of paper to write no. And then Hannah picks up the Sharpie and writes,
I'm skewed. She writes like a frowny face. Like she write, it's like in Scream Queens when Ariana's like, help me, I'm being killed, yeah. Like tweeting it. Like that's what it feels like. Are we at Toby's or Caleb's?
It's Toby's, but it looks like Caleb's sometimes. And Caleb is like set up shop.
Well,
in
when
here,
you first
so.
Said it, I thought they were at Caleb's, and then you said Toby's. So I was like, okay, now you're saying Caleb's. And I'm like, but why do the Hastings know where Caleb lives?
They're above the brew, which is where Toby lives, and later where Ezra lives. Fun fact.
Oh, interesting. So there's a knock at the door. It's the Hastings, and they're like, we know about it, to join the boys. Spencer, we go back to the dollhouse. Spencer has an insane reaction to a paper cut. Like, you wouldn't believe. She, like, is sitting on a table, has this fake paper cut, and, like, falls off to the ground. It's like, ah! And then she freaks out. She's like, I don't want to have a lame senior prom. This place is awesome, eh? She has some freaking imagination.
When Spencer decides that she has to act, she's like, I did Shakespeare camp in seventh grade. And she's like, okay, I'm going to give myself a paper cut. And
she's
I'm going to act like I was just
my
stabbed
objective.
In the heart.
What's my objective? What are my tactics here? I can't just act like I'm in pain. I need to show them like to yelp, to. Just kidding. So anyway, Spencer is all like, saying let's use the staircase as a grand entrance for Allie. We can use these pipes for shapes. They're thinking of all these things. Basically, they're setting a trap for Charles.
And Mona's the only one that gets it. And there's a really funny moment later that is so, it's giving blue snarfing all over again later on.
Oh my God. Blue snarfing, what a blast from the past.
So we go to Toby's apartment again and Vivi's ready to take this to the media.
Finally, they're ready to tell the other parents.
There's a confessional in Salt Lake from last night where Lisa Barlow goes, if I wanted this out, I would have gone to the Post. I would have gone to the New York Times. I would have gone to Good Morning America. I wouldn't go to, like,
I wouldn't be going to the Salt Lake City Observer.
Vivi's like, okay, let's take this to the WSJ. They're definitely Wall Street Journal readers.
Oh, for sure. And Ezra's like, no, I think we need more info. And Toby's like, yeah, everything that we give to Lieutenant Butterscotch, she just twists for her own theory. And Caleb's like, and also we can't call them. It's like, it's not smart with A. So Ezra's like, all right, you know what? Let me help you guys out. Over to your left, you'll see a lot of boxes. It is information I've compiled over my time spent stalking and dating Aria Montgomery.
And stalking your daughters.
And stalking your daughters as well. Just by they were just, you know, it's like, I didn't mean to fall in love with Aria.
Like,
I had a job, but
if we really get down to brass tacks, it was really all about Allison, who was the first minor that I dated.
The truth is, and it is like, love just finds you and hits you over the head. Like, I was going after Allison, ended up with Aria. It happens. And then he's like, and then if this isn't enough, there's actually a ton more in a storage unit. So we can go there too. And the Hastings are like, okay. But he didn't say it was his. He acted like all of that was like stuff of A's that they had found. And I'm like, no, come clean, Ezra. And he's like, just letting you know, though, like, if you open these boxes,
they're going to find out a knife to open up these boxes. And he goes, hey, I just need you guys to know, those are not just the girl secrets or A secrets. Those are
your
all
secrets
of our secrets.
Too. And then he's like, but don't worry, because I already know all of them. I already know, because I, again, did the research. So I know everything that's in there. So you don't need to worry about me. And I can't remember, but I probably told them, too.
Peter's ready to put the knife down.
Peter's
like, all right, second thought. And Vivi's like,
wipe my hands with this.
Vivi goes, Pete, no more secrets.
Sweet Pete, be the man I know. Come on.
For
so
Pete's sake.
Then the police are literally downstairs. They want to come up because Toby is harboring a fugitive as a cop. So Caleb's like, all right, I'll cooperate. So he leaves. Oh, no, sorry. He doesn't cooperate. He runs away. He's on the lam. And Toby tries to go after him. But the Hastings are like, Tobes. I wouldn't. And so then out of nowhere, Melissa calls Vivi. Interesting, you want to be a sister now?
Yeah, and Vivi's like, Vivi acts like,
Vivi's like
Spencer's
what the
calling
fuck?
Her.
Vivi's like, what the fuck? What the fuck? What the fuck?
How did she get my number?
Melissa?
Peter, I just changed my number.
Hastings? Peter's like, Melissa. She's like, Hastings. It's the initial age. Wait, let me make sure. Yeah, like, I know a few, it might be a client. So Smart Andrew, his one and only moment in the season 5 finale, which you know he's kicking dirt about, he is listening in on this phone call. So here's my question, Smart Andrew. If you and Leslie didn't team up to kill Mona like I thought last episode, much to Phoebe's joy, then what are you doing? Then what is the plan? Like, is he a bad guy? He's giving bad guy.
I don't know, man.
Oh, my God. It's I don't like when the high schoolers are the bad guys, because I'm like, you guys should be studying. You guys should be going to homecoming and studying and underage drinking. Well, even then, I thought it was like weird, but it was like Mona. It's also worse when it's a boy. Sorry, let me just say when it's a boy.
Hey, just to be clear, it's weird if it's anyone.
If it's a boy, it's so much worse. Man versus bear. You know?
I was like when it was Mona. She's like, yeah, well, it's weird. The whole thing is weird.
Well, that's
we
true.
Go back to the dollhouse and the girls are brainstorming.
Oh wait,
and
this is funny. Mona's like, oh, by the way, like, I think I'm probably going to get to stay. I'm just doing the best. So when A decides to do away with you guys, whatever that means, I'm probably going to still be here. So I think A wants to keep me when it's done with you guys. And then she goes,
this is the line that's Blue Star vibes. She goes, have you ever built one?
And built what?
And all of the girls are like, they start speaking in a different language. Now yes. Mona and Spencer.
Yeah, no, literally.
Apparently, and then I think Mona's like, I haven't. Or Spencer goes, I haven't needed to build one.
Yeah, and Mona's like, well, actually,
I've looked it up online.
You've definitely needed to. You just haven't. So they're going to
build some kind of device. It's basically going to be a machine that will, when they like click the camera, it's somehow going to turn all the power off.
Okay, yeah, long enough that they can escape apparently. So now it's the morning, the girls got all their materials,
and they, by the way, they think A is going to show up to the prom.
Yeah, which they turned out to be right about.
So it's the morning.
Yes.
And boy, did A deliver.
I just said that exact thing.
Oh, did you?
I said it's now the morning and the girls got everything they asked for.
Yes. I didn't even hear you.
And Emily, I love that isn't it always Emily and Spencer?
It's always fight? Emily that has to pick the fight. And I'm like, okay, guys,
who
don't
was
you
it last
time?
Was it Emily and Hannah last? Or was it like all
yeah,
of them?
Yeah, when they were last in orange jumpsuits.
Community service. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I thought I knew it was Emily, but I couldn't remember. It's so funny. I knew immediately. I was like, oh, this is Emily's taking a stand act. She's done this before. And Spencer goes, why are you being such a bitch?
Spencer low-key uses this, I feel like, as a way to like say
get her aggression
all this
out.
Stuff.
She's like, they say use the pain.
If I'm Emily, I'm like annoyed with Spencer for the rest of the day because she goes, classic Emily, always a quitter.
I
pick
know.
Swim team. You quit Paige. You even quit Maya.
I couldn't believe. I was like, and then Emily pushes her, and I'm like, okay, well, that was real.
I'm Emily. Suddenly, this isn't acting.
This
anymore.
Is no longer
I'm
acting.
Lunging.
This is like, what the
I'm
hell is wrong with you,
Spencer?
There's a line you've never known in any of your life, but I'm about to fucking show you. So they're fighting, like actually street fighting, and A is like, okay, popcorn, and moves the camera to watch them. And while that's happening, Mona is collecting all the materials that she wants in another box.
A stands for Andy Cohen.
Well, of course. Yeah. Following the action. So Hannah and Aria break up the fight. Emily and Spencer apologize and then they go back to help Mona now that she has all this stuff.
Then we go to the police department and Caleb is there with Lieutenant Butterscotch. And then I love this little reveal that Peter and Vivi are his lawyers because at first it looks like only Caleb
it's
is in this room with Lieutenant. And then they zoom out and Peter and Vivi are both like leaning back in their chairs and like, so yeah.
They're like, yeah, joke's on you. He's like, I don't know where Hannah is. And they're like, you need to charge him or release him. Come on, let's go. And
then he basically admits to a federal offense.
Well, not basically. He does.
And Lieutenant Butterscotch goes, do you know that you just admitted to a federal offense? And Vivi, and I'm like, pretty sure this isn't like actually something a lawyer could say. Vivi goes, I think what my client meant to say is yeah. that if he had
if
done that.
If he had done that, yeah. And they're like, okay, for some reason, you guys have not even considered that the girls were taken. And you need to understand that you're not going to find the answer chasing these girls because they are not running from you. So we are chasing the wrong person. Like this is, I mean, yes, chase the girls, find them. But like if you're chasing them because you think they did something wrong and they're hiding from you, you're not going to find them because that's not what's happening. So back to the dollhouse, prom is all set up. Aria, of course, is the photographer. She'll be taking photos and she has like the device hidden behind like a fake camera thing. And Spencer's like, maybe like, you should wait for the shot because you only get one first shot. And they go back to their rooms to get ready.
Then we go back to the police department and they've enlisted Caleb to help hack into whatever to get the coordinates of the van.
Hacker's got a hack.
For the van. Hacker's got a hack. And they find the van and he goes, just so we're clear, this is only the coordinates for the van. It doesn't mean anything, really.
Yeah, yeah. And Lieutenant Butterscotch puts her hand on Caleb's shoulder and he literally looks... picks up her hand and removes it from his shoulder and is like, call it in. And so Toby
And
does.
I'm like, what is it like to live like someone who's like just not constantly trying to be as polite as possible?
I hate to say it again. I hate to make this such a man bashing episode, but that is why. That's why. So, okay, there are outfits for the girls on their beds, and A kind of nailed it on the fashion. And why is Spencer dressed like Taylor was dressed, but the dress is blue instead of yellow?
At the VMAs. Yes. I thought this, and the hair is the same, yes. The makeup's the same. There's a choker, I think.
Yeah, it's okay. I see the callback Taylor was going for there, and now I think I can appreciate it.
Everybody thought it was Reputation.
Oh my God, she's gonna come out with the cover of Got a Secret, Can You Keep It? Wow, I can't wait.
I can't, oh my God, I can't believe we just announced that.
Nobody knew, but I hope you did, that the reason I chose Lavender Haze for my wedding anniversary post with all those pictures was because it started, and I chose the beginning of the song because of that.
And it feels right.
I hope the people who were there got it and didn't think I was just like using
Addie Brown. I need you to know, I know you don't listen, but I need you to know that, like, I tell my anytime Midnights comes up to someone that I've never talked about Midnights with, I have to explain the way that you perfectly predict it. Like, I wish I could have been filmed when I heard Lavender Haze for the first time.
Oh, yeah.
And Taylor verbatim does what Addie had been joking she would do the entire day.
Oh, also, Phoebe, I didn't tell you, but when my friends do come to visit over Christmas, I tell you they're coming.
I have to be out of town. I have to be across state lines.
No, you can be there. We're doing this. You know that TikTok that was like, all I wanted for my friends was for them to do the Music Man for my birthday, and it's all them on like a table read? Have you seen this?
Mm-mm.
Okay, it's this TikTok. This girl was like, all I wanted for my birthday was for all my friends to get together and for us to do a big table read and sing through of the Music Man. And so it's all her friends, and they're all playing different roles, and they all have scripts, and they are singing all the songs. They're doing the whole thing. And so I decided when they come to visit, they're coming the weekend after Christmas, I'm going to rent out my studio, and we're going to go in there, and we are going to do a table read. And I'm going to choose the musical. I'm not going to tell anybody what it is. I'm going to cast us all. You can be there. Everyone's going to have a script. I might even hire an accompanist to be there so that we can get harmonies and we can do, like, we're going to like do it. How fun will that be?
So fun.
What if we did like Hamilton?
I was just going to say, like, we have to do Hamilton.
How much fucking fun would that be? Can you imagine? Like, so anyway, just so you know, that's on the docket. Okay. So they end up finding the van, which is crazy. So they're all spreading out and searching the perimeter while the girls are glamming. Not Unwritten by Natasha Bedingfield playing. That being the song that's playing at this prom is so funny. And the girls, again, it's hard for me to imagine. These girls were like, okay, we're going to look good for this. They put on full glam, and I'm just like, what?
Like, I mean, Shay Mitchell looks like Shay Mitchell. And I love that when Shay Mitchell's in glam, she's suddenly not Emily anymore. Like, the way she walks down the stairs is like, Shay Mitchell. That's Shay Mitchell.
Yes, exactly. But I'm just like, we really, like, Spencer, you tried out a new smoky eye look tonight. Like, Hannah, you curled your hair.
Hannah's hair is like, looks like it has like a fresh dye to it.
I know. I guess like when you've been, I mean, Hannah's been in jail and this is what she loves. So like, I could understand it for Hannah and for Mona, but it is like
the rest of them.
I just feel like it's weird. They're not
in
like
barefaced.
Yeah, like,
maybe they thought
they'd
get shot.
I'm like not.
Maybe they thought
they'd
get shot down if they rolled up with no makeup on.
Because it's also like, guys, what are you gonna do when it's time to take the makeup off? No one thought about that.
They didn't need to. They thought they were going to get out.
Oh, yeah.
And I guess they did.
They were like, we have makeup wipes at home.
Unwritten is absolutely in my top five karaoke songs.
The rest is still unwritten. Oh!
So then
the lights start.
There's a bunch of mannequins around that are dressed as prom people.
And they're all standing, staring at the grand staircase. And Mona's not here yet.
The lights do start to move, and they go, okay, I guess that means we should
start dancing. I wish they would have started dancing. None of them do, but I would have loved to see their like terrified little dances.
Imagine they start fully like throwing
Emily
down.
And Emily starts doing her full routine. We're like, okay, again, like, you put on glam, you act brand new.
Hannah's doing the floor work.
Yeah. There is an active mannequin here as well. Did you notice A gave every single one of them gloves?
No.
Every single one of them is wearing gloves. Spencer's are fingerless mesh gloves. And everyone else has like full gloves on.
Oh, well, thank God.
Why? We really thought of everything.
And that's what they say. Spencer says, wow, A really thought of everything.
True.
So Mona enters and she has to have the mask on as Allie.
She's welcomed in
and
as
then
the
there's,
prom queen.
There's a canned, and I'm like, who's triggering these things if A's in this room?
I know.
Because there's like a canned applause track that plays. So it sounds like a bunch of people are cheering for Allie. And I'm like, man, A is really fucking obsessed with Allie.
Yes. It's so fucking weird.
It's giving Chuck Bass, no offense.
Oh. So Spencer does something insane. She goes, Charles, are you here? We have something for you. Spencer, at that point, I'm like,
We're revealing that we have the name?
I think that's crazy. And she's like, you should be standing up here. It's what you want, isn't it? It's your prom. You should be crowned the king.
I mean, I'm saying it is crazy, but it works.
That somehow is what Charles wants. Yeah. And when Charles steps out and I see that he's got this, wow, this is a crazy callback, coif. He has this insane coiffed hair, not a quiff, but coiffed hair. Never forget. That was so funny. When you were convinced it was quiff. And
that
I think
was
that
so
was like,
direction.
That was like in the very early days of this podcast when I was like working so hard to make little reels. And that was one of the ones I made because it was so funny. But his hair is so coiffed, and I'm like, and that's how I know he's a trust fund kid.
And he's, but that's not his real hair.
It isn't?
No, he's got like a skin suit on under. But it's, so I think it's on top of the skin suit. Because under the mask and you see it go up on his neck, he's got like one of those morph suits on. It's black.
I just thought that his hair
was still. And so he's got
still
a wig over it and then his mask.
Oh God, gross. Aren't you? How can you breathe in there? So then Aria prepares to take the photo as Charles steps out from behind the mannequin. Does it? The lights start flashing and then they scream, let's get the hell out of here, which is just not what I would have done.
No.
Way to let him know exactly what's going on here.
I would have said, oh my God, how'd this happen?
I would have said nothing and run. Like, just say nothing and get out so he can't follow the sound of your fucking voice because he knows what you're doing.
So then we go to this like barn where the police are showing up and Vivi and Daddy Hastings arrive to it as well, and they note that this is the old Campbell farm where they used to take the kids apple picking. And Lieutenant Butterscotch and Toby go down to this storm cellar, and they find A's lair.
Crazy. So, again, I'm like, where the fuck are we? Because in my mind, I'm like, okay, so that means, like, they must be underneath, or, like, what? How are they not hearing any of this? Like, how do the girls not hear? Like, you know what I mean? But I'm getting the sense of, like, oh yeah, I guess they were underground because then they come up at the very end. But they are really.
But it's actually
nowhere.
So much crazier because this is like a remote location that A's been watching.
This must be like, there must be like a fucking tunnel like underneath this that goes there. That's the
no,
only thing I can
they're
think
separate
of.
Locations.
So there's not, they're not connected at all?
Not that I remember.
Wow, weird. So Spencer.
Which is part of, it's like a decoy kind of. We go to the dollhouse and Spencer goes into what's the vault and the power starts to come back on. I'm like, Spencer, you're wasting
this
fucking
time.
This
is so stupid. Like, it's so stupid. Cheers. We get walking after midnight again. Yeah. I was like actually really annoyed at this part because the music's playing and Spencer like fully stops the record player. Like, again, we don't want him to know where you are. So if you were to hear the music and hear it stop, he would know somebody stopped it. So he's going to fall. Like, why are you so stupid?
For sure.
Sorry.
And this projector starts to come on and a bunch of family movies start to play of two boys at the Campbell Farms.
This is crazy.
And then we see Jess
well,
D.
Well, Spencer
is there
says,
holding,
if this is your vault, then this is what you treasure the most. And then it, yeah.
And then we see that Jess D. is there and Jess D. is holding baby Allie and is having two boys, one presumably Jason and one presumably maybe Charles, kissing baby Allison.
So now this is
and
making
then Charles
more sense.
Emerges. And Spencer doesn't turn around. Spencer like stays still and she
this
goes.
This is how I know we're in a TV show.
She's like, what does she say?
Is that you, Charles?
She says, Charles.
Is that you, Charles? I'm sorry. I would rewrite that line. I would just say Charles.
I would maybe rewrite that line.
Is that you, Charles?
Pat was being so funny about industry. He goes, sometimes when I watch that show, I'm just like, I would have done another pass through of that.
And I'm like, and your pass through would have been a keeper. And I just know that. So then Mona calls Spencer's name. Spencer turns. A is now gone. And she's looking through the room and Mona comes in and she says, this is not at all what I thought it would be. A has a soul. Which I'm like, I don't even think that's true. I don't think this necessarily means A has a soul.
Yeah, there's, I don't know. We go back to the lair and Lieutenant Butterscotch is looking through the footage. I'm like, A, you don't have passwords?
This is the other thing.
This cellar was just unlocked.
She has access to all of these and then she sees
and this is where Lieutenant Butterscotch is entire life flashes before her eyes because she sees that Mona's alive and she's like, oh,
she sees Mona's alive. She sees the girls are victims
to life in
prison. She's like, oh my, she's like, I have been having my best cadet who's been telling me, I've been having him get coffee, almost fired him. I have been accusing all of these girls when they are like the victims. I haven't done my job protecting them literally at all. And then I also have someone in prison for life.
I couldn't have gotten this more wrong.
It is. There's nothing right about it. And I'm like, and somehow like, well, I still think it's not going to be enough for her.
She goes, so where is that place?
Because she sees where the footage of the girls talking. She sees Hannah go, he, she, it, bitch, talking right to the camera. So that, I mean, there's no bones about it at that point. Like, it is, that is, these girls are our victims. So that's also the moment I realized that the dollhouse wasn't going to last that much longer because if she already sees
now
that.
Now they know about it. Exactly.
Yeah, so I was kind of bummed.
But I guess in theory, like, I would have wanted it to go longer, but I guess in theory maybe they worked through this, that, like, we've seen the vibe.
Yeah.
So there's only so much that they could have.
Yeah, true.
Like, if every day looks like that, then it would have maybe gotten
boring.
That's
a good point. True, yeah. So Emily, Mona, Aria, and Hannah, and Spencer all make it out. But when they get outside, they realize they're actually in another cage. They're fully fenced in. And I just want to say, this is an argument for why doing sports is not always the answer. Because Emily's like, let's climb it. And she just immediately is like, I'm Sporty Spice. I can climb it. And you guys can climb it. That's how we're getting out. And it's like, imagine if we had just trusted the brawn and not the brains, you know? Imagine.
Spencer shrieks like a mother losing her child.
Thank God.
That is the vibe. And we realize that it's an electric fence.
Can you imagine? Emily's like,
A starts playing the song Don't Fence Me In.
Fucking crazy. And the camera does this super slow pan. It's an awesome shot. The camera pans out super slowly, and we realize like this little enclosure they're in is actually in the middle of nowhere. It just keeps like, I keep thinking like there's got to be something else. No, just trees for like as far as you can see.
Okay, if the police are figuring this out, they're gonna have copters,
drones
circling around.
Yeah,
like turn the fucking stadium lights off.
Hey, if we could get this footage of the girls, if we could get this overhead footage that we just explained to everybody, then the police can too. Okay, but no, you're right. I mean, we just saw where they are. I thought it was a great episode. But I have to admit, I was a little bit distracted by the fact that I was trying to explain away how Mona was on my screen. So that was a little, I'm just going to say it, like it was a little bit distracting, but
imagine
I loved it.
Imagine having to wait like an entire summer.
Yeah, no, that's crazy. I'm so glad. And that's why we don't do seasons. And that's why we're not going to make you wait because we wouldn't want to wait. So we're not going to make you wait because we obviously know exactly. You guys are watching it exactly on pace with us. Yeah, I thought it was crazy. And you were right. I never could have guessed how they got there. Like, never could have guessed how it was they ended up in the dollhouse. It's crazy and it's so dark. And I think they actually did hit on that in this episode. They were like, yes, Mona was running the game. But then when Mona went to Allie is saying it to the Hastings.
That's what
like,
Allie says. Yeah.
Yeah. When Mona went to Radley, the game started
it got
again.
Worse.
And it was the same game, but it was a little bit different. And it was like,
She said it was the same game, but the stakes were so much higher.
Yeah. So it's like,
which we should have known when Aria was trapped in Emily was trapped in a box
with
that was
dead,
locked and was being
about to be sawed in half. Yes. I forgot that one.
I was like, okay, this is a different.
But same when Aria was locked in a box with a dead body, a dead police officer. Like there are actually so many moments when I'm thinking back that I'm like, yeah.
Even when Mona was I guess Hannah was hit by a car.
I actually half expected them at one point when they were walking into the rooms. I thought one of the rooms they were walking into was going to be Dr. Sullivan's office and she was also going to be there and they were going to have to do it. Wouldn't
that
have been kind of cool? Yeah, I know. I
that
was kind of
cool.
Anyway, all right. I will read our synopsis for next week. So next week, guys, can you believe we're starting season 6?
Wow. New month, new season.
Crazy. New month, new season, new us. It's called Game On, Charles. New month, new week, new season, new us, new character, Charles. Aria, Emily, Hannah, Spencer, and Mona are trapped outside the dollhouse where their tormentor, Charles, has been keeping them with nowhere to run. So I guess we're getting an outdoor bottle episode. Just kidding.
I don't remember.
I am eager for this next one. I think it's going to be great. Yeah, this show is crazy. I hope that this reaction to the dollhouse was worth the wait, worth what you guys wanted, because you did a really nice job making me believe Mona was dead. So there you go. I'll let you have it. And remember what I said, Phoebe.
Victory.
I will get you back for this. And you won't expect it. You won't expect it. You never could. All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening. Tonight, our giveaway is ending. So you can still get your last minute entries in. Right now, I'm going to announce it probably tomorrow morning. On Instagram, make sure you're following us at The Pretty Little Podcast. The O in podcast is a zero. Follow us on TikTok at The Pretty Little Podcast. Please go listen. Listen to Tuesday's episode. It was actually really funny. I listened to the whole thing and I laughed out loud, and lots of you did. People love the Josh Wader anniversary story. So if you're so curious funny. About that, go listen to our latest episode. It's in the timestamps. Sorry we had a few interjections in this episode, but like, it is the finale. We had to give you a little bit more. And tomorrow, you guys are going to get that Glee Gaga Patreon episode. So I know it's coming in November, but it's still your October final Patreon.
And it's not
episode.
Even technically a Halloween episode. So
yeah, it's just, yeah. Anyway, okay. Have a really safe and fun Halloween if you're going trick-or-treating tonight or doing anything fun or anything like what I used to do. Just really be careful and be safe and make good choices. And tell all your friends about us. We love you. Tag us in your pics of your costumes, especially if you're us. And we'll see you next week.
And spot.
And spot. And vote.